The world is changing like never before. We are currently witnessing the unraveling of over 100 years of globalist infrastructure right before our very eyes. The tides of history are turning, and the age of empires, kingdoms, and civilizations is rising. Ever since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we've been hearing terms like multipolarity and a new multipolar world order every day, signifying the end of a unipolar liberal world order, a world that was governed by a single superpower at the helm, and the reawakening of multiple world powers and grand civilizations. There are a myriad of flashpoints and economic, political developments that are examples of this growing multipolarity, the war in Ukraine being the most dramatic. But as the diplomatic fallout of the sanctions against Russia perpetrated by the collective West continues to be realized, there were two specific economic political blocks forming that are challenging the hegemony of the liberal world order and its mechanisms of control. Two of the most relevant formal institutions leading the charge into this multipolar future are the BRICS Group as well as the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. These groups are serving as alternatives to the globalist neoliberal groups like the G7 and G20, and as their ranks grow, there's speculation that they could morph into something akin to a NATO-like military defense alliance. Now, of course, this begs the question, what exactly are these groups? Well, let's start with BRICS. Standing for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, the BRICS group is a collection of emerging economies that a number of economists predict will be globally dominant by 2050. In the past two decades, these nations have formalized their grouping, now meeting every year at what's called the BRICS Summit, moving each year to a different member country. Now, interestingly, many have described the current hot conflict in Ukraine and the cold one in Taiwan as possible precursors to a BRICS versus NATO showdown. Not only are all the BRICS nations standing athwart NATO's involvement in Ukraine, they're also growing exponentially in their ranks. It's likely that after the 2023 BRICS summit in South Africa, several powerful nations could be added to their ranks. Right now, Argentina and Iran have openly expressed interest, while the foreign minister of South Africa has stated that up to 12 nations have expressed interest in joining the growing bloc. Along with BRICS, you have the rise of what's called the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Considered today as the largest regional organization, at least in terms of geographic scope, the SCO is a Eurasian economic, political, and international security defense organization made up of China, Russia, India, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan, with many other observers and dialogue partners across the Eurasian landmass. Over 40% of the world's population is within SCO countries, as well as over 60% of the Eurasian landmass, and 30% of the world's GDP. The SCO also has within it the Regional Anti-Terrorist Structure, or RATS, which works to prevent separatist and terrorist groups from forming within member states and ultimately hopes to turn into a full-blown, unified, anti-terror military force within the borders of the SCO. Much like BRICS, the SCO is quite the list of suitors and wannabe members. Afghanistan, Belarus, Mongolia, and Iran are considered observers at SCO gatherings, and 10 other nations are classified as explicit dialogue partners and recognize themselves as potential future members. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey are three of the largest examples of these Eurasian dialogue partners. Gang, as you know, we look out for each other on this channel. Your safety and your security are our number one priority. So if you haven't secured the deed to your home as of yet, you need to click on that link below right now and protect yourself and your loved ones. I was absolutely shocked when I found out how easy it is to access the deed to my house, and not just access it, but actually change it. The deed to your home is the only document that proves you own it. But the problem is that all our deeds are now online, and criminals are free to find your deed, forge your signature, refile as the new homeowner, take out tons of loans using your home's equity, and then they stick you with all the debt. But that's where our good friends over at Home Title Lock come in. Gang, they're simply amazing. Home Title Lock gives you the peace of mind that the deed to your home is absolutely and completely protected 24/7. Click on that link below right now. Use promo code TurleyTalks. And all you got to do is enter your address for your no obligation home title scan to see if you've already been a victim of deed theft. It's a $100 value, absolutely, totally free with my promo code TurleyTalks. Gang, don't wait for the worst to happen only to regret you didn't do something about it when you could have. Do what I've done. Do what countless patriots have done. Click on that link below right now and secure your home today. One hears reference to Eurasia a lot these days as multipolarity becomes a discussed issue. And it is important to remember that this focus comes as the economic center of the world shifts away from what's called an Atlanticist or Anglo-American centric economic and political world. It's also important to remember heartland theory, which comes from British geographer and political theorist Halford Mackinder, and states that the world island, or Eurasia plus Africa, is the major center of the world. He posits further that the heartland of this world island is an area broadly from west of the Volga River to the Yangtze and the Arctic to the Himalayas. Eastern Europe is deemed the most geostrategically relevant area to control in Mackinder's mind, and this view was indeed held by those Atlanticist powers who sought to prevent the rise of a heartland power at all costs. Indeed, this concern appears to be animating NATO's involvement in Ukraine and their increasing willingness to escalate that involvement. The new alliance between Russia and China, cemented by visits to Moscow by Xi Jinping and his U.S. sanctioned defense minister, is the Eurasian alliance Atlanticists have feared since the 19th century. As if the Biden regime wasn't unhappy enough, Secretary of State Tony Blinken has been totally snubbed and has not been invited to Beijing for any visits in the near future. As mentioned before, the G7 and G20 are the major Western alternatives to these institutions, and they've all made a point to basically exile Russia and Russian President Vladimir Putin from their ranks. And yet the rise of BRICS and the SEO are raising the profound question, who's really isolating whom here? Besides being a direct counter to the globalist pillars of the European Union and NATO, BRICS and the SEO are rapidly leading to non-Western brokered peace and unity between formerly bitter enemy states. Recently, Iran and Saudi Arabia normalized relations and are reopening their embassies, and ending the war in Yemen and moving towards cooperation in several other areas. This peace, which brings together the two greatest energy and weapons powers in the Middle East who respectfully finance the two sides of the broader Islamic conflicts in the region, was brokered by none other than the People's Republic of China. And the Biden administration is hardly happy about it. This peace deal coincides with big changes occurring in the energy market. OPEC and OPEC Plus represent the major oil-producing nations in the world and make decisions specifically regarding the massive oil fields in the Middle East, along with output and other factors that can dramatically affect the global economy. Recently, OPEC, led by oil mega-producer Saudi Arabia, decided to actually cut oil production despite the wishes of the U.S. that they produce more. Due to the sanctions placed by Western countries on Russia, the U.S. and EU hoped to buy more cheap oil from Saudi Arabia and other OPEC allies, but much like they did with the Iran-China deal, the Saudis have sided with multipolarity. Not only are the major energy-producing nations siding with and even hoping to join BRICS and the SCO, the status quo of the petrodollar and the dollar's world reserve currency status is being directly challenged as well. It's been one of the major foreign policy goals of the United States to maintain the dollar's status as the sole medium of exchange for energy purchases. It was among the major reasons why our military-industrial complex went into Kuwait and Iraq and Libya and did what we did. It was among the major reasons why our military-industrial complex went into Kuwait, Iraq, and Libya. The neocons and neolibs did not want strong leaders of energy-rich countries selling their resources in non-dollars. But now we have dozens of countries doing just that. We see Iran, Saudi Arabia, Kenya, Brazil, and a number of other powerful and far-flung nations agreeing to do trade and energy business exclusively in Chinese yuan and other local currencies. In fact, India, now the most populated nation in the world, is in talks with 18 other countries regarding ditching the dollar in trade entirely. To put matters bluntly, this is, without exaggeration, perhaps the single most rapid increase in deglobalization we've witnessed in the last decade. Ironically, one of the major factors that triggered this rapid de-dollarization was the US and EU seizing Russia's foreign currency reserves. This was an unprecedented seizure of sovereign wealth, and the rest of the world was stunned by it. Many countries said to themselves, if the US and the EU could do that to Russia, they could easily do that to us. I mean, if we put our own interests before those of the bullies in Brussels and the dolts in DC, will our assets be next? And the solution to this dilemma is obvious. Simply ditch the dollar entirely. Now, over two-thirds of Russian-Chinese trade is in rubles and yuan, and their economies are flourishing. The economic situation has shifted so dramatically against the globalist power structures that even one of its most loyal outposts, Japan, has decided to ignore the oil price cap placed on Russian exports and buy from the Federation at over $60 a barrel. With only the US, Canada, and a handful of EU countries abiding by the cap, the message is clear. DC and Brussels do not command the control and influence across the globe that they once did. This is by no means bad news for us Americans at home. If we could get leaders who actually understand the world we live in, with rising civilization states and a return to culture, custom, and tradition, America could see quite the nationalist revival as a vibrant red, white, and blue pole in the midst of a new multipolar world. We could see our manufacturing base return, our currency regulated to benefit Americans rather than speculators, and finally see the end of young Americans being sent overseas to do the bidding of secular globalists. We could secure our southern border and stop concerning ourselves with the borders of those thousands of miles away. We could end the woke mind virus and bring Christ and truth back into the American public square. We see this happening already in Russia, Hungary, Georgia, even Italy right now. Let the neocons convince us that the fall of their secular empire means the fall of America. Far from it. If anything, their collapse will lead to a brighter future for us all.